I'm going to ask your forgiveness, please, before I start. Because I'm going to talk about something that I know. And what I know about sheep. And it's interesting that sheep are mentioned so many times in the scriptures, and people are likened to sheep. Is it flattering? Well, we'll see. I say I know a lot about sheep because where I grew up, sheep were part of almost every day. You would see sheep. Not where they should have been, up on the hills, but down in the streets of the town, making a nuisance of themselves generally, trying to find their way into people's gardens so that they could enjoy what was there. And at this time of year, there was always newborn. There were always lambs around. And it was always, in a way, a little bit of a noisy time, because the lambs would spend time with their mother, but then they would wander off, and then you'd hear one crying out, the mother crying, and the little one crying, and they would recognize each other, and they would meet up, and they would be so happy, the way in which they would be reunited. But what is interesting about sheep, and what I discovered, and I learned a lot about when Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, I saw the sheep had gone astray. They were not where they should have been, on the hills. And there was nobody who seemed to care about them. Maybe a little bit later on, after the lambs had been born, they would round them up and take them back to the farm, and they would mark them so that they knew who they belonged to. But interesting thing about sheep, they liked to be together, but also that they followed one another. They if one went that way, then the others would follow them. Some would decide, well, I'm not going that way, I'll go this way. But then they'd find others that would follow them. So they were always an animal that would follow each other. And that was something that was so familiar. They seemed to have a mind of their own. And sometimes when they discovered something good, they made it known so that others would come and join them. It was an interesting thing. And one of the things that I always remember very much was one of my favorite programs on the television was One Man and His Dog. And that was that a different mindset to what we have in the scriptures, that the one man and his dog was supposedly a shepherd who would use a dog to drive the sheep. And so when the time came, you'd find the sheepdog and you'd find this farmer coming down from the hill, and he would see these sheep and he would use whistle to guide the dog, to get the dog to drive the sheep back to where he wanted them to be. And so that was the picture I had of a shepherd, an absent person, someone who was not there. But I learned a lot about the characteristics of sheep. And I've often wondered about that. But then when I went to Israel, and when I went, I've traveled a little bit in Europe, and in certain parts, there are shepherds today who take care of their sheep in a very different way to that which I was familiar with. You see, the sheep that I was familiar with should have been shut in a field and were left there, grazing. And if they were moved to another field, then they would use a dog to move them on. The shepherd really didn't know his sheep. But I discovered that that was not the way that when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, that wasn't the kind of shepherd that he was talking about. And so I discovered that what happens is that the shepherd really gets to know the sheep. The lamb, when it is born, is made familiar with the shepherd. The shepherd takes care of it, picks it up, and it knows and smells the shepherd, and therefore from a young age, that lamb will know the shepherd and will follow on. And the shepherds would lead the sheep, not drive them, would lead the sheep. The sheep had trust in the shepherd and would follow and go where the shepherd would lead. And I've seen them standing at the side of the road, the sheep behind, waiting for the traffic to make it safe for the sheep to cross. And then the shepherd crossed the road and the sheep would follow. Sheep are those that follow. I want us today to think about ourselves a little bit like sheep. I think that people today follow. They follow, have something to follow, whether it's the Maple Leafs, or the Blue Jays, or I'm not going there again. But people like to follow. They like to follow. And crowds go to follow their particular sport, follow their particular team, or maybe music. People follow different musicians. They love to follow. They love to follow and know what's going on, and they're focused on. And many people, just like sheep, we love to be together. We like to be in a crowd. Sheep love to be with each other. Now then, Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And I come to this account that we read today as Peter being told, feed my sheep. I want, first of all, for us to look at the situation that Peter is in. Peter had been called from fishing. He had been invited by Jesus, follow me. And so he had followed Jesus. He had followed him all the way until that time when he was afraid and he denied Jesus. 3 times. Peter had been on the beach here. He had discovered that the grave was empty. And Peter here has decided now, Jesus said, follow me, and it's a new beginning. So what he is familiar with, he does. And others join him. They go back to what was familiar. They left what they had been called to do. They went back to fishing. It's interesting that when they went back to fishing, I wonder what they thought. Because if you read the beginning of this chapter, you discover that they spent all night fishing and caught nothing. I wonder what was going through their minds at that time. Oh, 3.5 years following Jesus, and now we can't catch a fish. Have we lost the skill that we had? And imagine they're coming back in the morning, coming back to shore. And they must have been really, really, I've never really been fishing. I have once or twice, but not anything to shout about. Although when I did go fishing off the coast of South Wales, I took a group of men that were homeless, and we decided we'd take them a trip to this particular seaside resort, and we'd take them out fishing for an hour or two. And it was mackerel fishing, and all you had to do, all you were given was it was just a line with hooks on. And over the side it would go, and you just stand there. I felt something. And I pulled, and everybody else was standing there, nothing. And they started to make fun of me. Well, I think, do you know somebody that I don't? And when I got back home with the fish, there was nobody believed that I'd caught them. They thought I'd gone and bought them and brought them back home. But to be a fisherman and have no fish was frustrating. And before they came back to shore, there was somebody stood there who said to them, haven't you got any fish? No. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. What happened? They had an amount of fish that they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number. At that point, it's as if suddenly a spark goes off. Suddenly something dawns on Peter. It's the Lord. You see, he had taken his eyes off Jesus. He had gone back to what he was familiar with, and Jesus was teaching him his need to follow. His need to hear what Jesus had to say, because when they heard and responded to what Jesus said, then they caught the fish. They were brought in, and it was Peter that ran in, and they recognized it was Jesus. And Jesus invited them to breakfast, and they had fish for breakfast. And Jesus shared the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And when they'd finished eating, Jesus came to Peter. Do you love me more than these? I want to suggest to you that Jesus here is showing himself as the shepherd. The shepherd who cares about every single one of his sheep. Even though Peter had denied him, Jesus loved him, and Jesus wanted Peter to understand the reality, wanted Peter to understand where his love should be, who should be preeminent in his thoughts, who is it that he should be following, his old way of life or the new way of life that he had begun, and sadly had failed to fulfill what he had said he would do. So, if you like, Peter was like a sheep. He had gone his own way. He had gone back, taking his eye off the shepherd and wandered off. But the shepherd had not taken his eye off him. And that's the way that God watches us, and if we are His, if we belong to Him, sometimes we will wander off. Sometimes we will go our own way. But He is watching you. He is watching me, and He will draw us back in. He will help us to understand that we've taken our eyes off Him and we've looked elsewhere. And that really, if we are to be blessed, we need to hear and respond to what Jesus is saying. We need to show our love for Him by the way that we live. And so Jesus challenged Peter. Where is your love? What is it that you love? You could just imagine Peter. He was frustrated, first of all, because they'd gone fishing and they'd caught nothing. Now he was rejoicing because it was the Lord. He was alive. Sin, death had not defeated him. He had conquered death. But now his love for Jesus was being challenged. You can see as he was asked on three occasions. You can see by that third response that Peter makes, he comes to that place where he had been before. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had made that declaration and so soon afterwards had failed again. But on this occasion, Peter was hurt, it says, because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter's response was, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." So Peter was declaring his love for Jesus, but he was feeling hurt about being challenged. He was a lost sheep, but Jesus was giving him that opportunity to come back into the fold and giving him responsibility to recognize that he had been called to be a fisher of men, but now he was being given a commission to feed the sheep. "Feed my sheep," says Jesus. "Feed my sheep. Follow me." You see, Peter was going to be given the responsibility to minister, to feed, spiritually feed, those who came to Jesus, those who repented, those who came to know Jesus to be their Savior, those who came into the fold. In John 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me." And he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it again. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So those who had come to follow Jesus were looked upon as sheep, and they needed to be continually fed. And the feeding was the responsibility of Peter. Peter was mainly a minister to the Jews, the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, and Peter had to learn some lessons himself later on. But here, Peter is like a sheep. He is listening to what Jesus is telling him and giving him instructions, and then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now, almost immediately, we discover that Peter is like a sheep. He's looking at the other sheep. Peter's looking at John. And he said to Jesus, what about him? You know, God speaks to us. He approaches us direct, as he did with Peter. And he wants a personal response. He isn't concerned about what somebody else thinks. He isn't concerned about how somebody else is going. He wants a response from each one of us. Just as Peter had to respond. Jesus said to him, follow me. If I want him to rise, Jesus didn't say, let me just go back. He said, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Here is Jesus telling his sheep, you must follow me. Don't worry about anybody else. You follow me. And I believe that's where God leads us. As sheep, we need to get to know the shepherd. And Peter was given the responsibility of an under-shepherd. The under-shepherd needs to know the shepherd, Jesus, who gave his life for us. So Peter was given that responsibility. He was given the opportunity three times to declare his love for Jesus, as on three occasions he had denied him. So here he was given three occasions to confirm and affirm his love for Jesus. And what we must recognize is that when Peter did learn a lesson from this, and as you can read his letter, and you recognize that he did recognize and he did focus on Jesus. We know that at Pentecost, it was Peter that spoke to the crowds in Jerusalem. And as a result of his speech, 3,000 at least were baptized, repented, and were baptized. And so as a lost sheep, he was back in the fold. And he recognized that that was the best place to be. It was the safest place to be. The temptation may be to wander off, and the temptation today may be to hear all kinds of other voices. I want to suggest to you today that there will be others who will want you to draw you in, for you to follow them. The Apostle Peter says that in the last days there will be those who will come, and we need to beware of them because they will be deceiving. You see, Peter learned a lesson. He needed to keep focused on Jesus. And Jesus, when he talked about being the good shepherd, when he talked about the sheep and how he knows the sheep, he says they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You see, we really need to get to know the shepherd. And that's the point that Jesus is making to Peter. You really need to get to know me. Don't worry about anybody else. You come, follow me. We as sheep need to follow the shepherd. We as sheep are watched by the shepherd. You know, because we are people who love to follow, there are those who are out there who would like us to follow their ways. And they will have partial truth. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we are really to know the truth, we have to know Jesus. As Peter had to recognize that. This past week, there was a mad dash for people to try and see a certain lady who's on television. You know what I mean. And she has partial truth. And there is a tendency to draw people away from Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us, and Jesus himself tells us, I am the door. By me, there is only one way. He says, I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. As sheep, we need to know the shepherd. We need to hear his voice. We need to recognize his voice. The Apostle John warns against listening. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So as sheep, we need to know the shepherd. Yes, we have a mind of our own and we can choose to wander off. But know that Jesus told that the shepherd goes out to seek. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek out Peter, to bring him back into the fold, to give him responsibility, to help him to recognize that the way that he has been forgiven, the way that he has been given a new beginning, is the way that every single person has that opportunity to have a new beginning, to be drawn into the fold, to be welcomed by Jesus. Jesus came that we might have life. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As sheep, don't just follow other sheep. Don't just look at other people as Peter was tempted to do. In fact, he did. What about him? When God is speaking to you, listen to what he's saying to you. When he's speaking to me, listen to what he's saying to me. And don't say, well, what about, they're better than me. You could use, God has work for each one of us to do. If we have accepted Jesus to be our Savior, he is our shepherd. But God gives the role of under-shepherd to others. And those who are given that responsibility have a major responsibility to make sure that they share what is true. Peter, challenged by Jesus, followed. Challenged by Jesus, Peter experienced opposition. He experienced persecution. But he did not give up because he kept his eyes focused on Jesus. It's Peter who says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Listen to what he says in his letter. He says this: humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You see, he was speaking from experience, because he had discovered that God had restored him. Will himself restore you and make you strong. That's how Peter was able to stand up at Pentecost. The one who had been afraid when he was there following Jesus. He had gone further than anyone else. But then when somebody says, aren't you with him? And he said, no. But when he experienced the power of God in his life, and he recognized that what Jesus had taught him and invited him to follow him, that Jesus had restored him, brought him back into the fold, and made him strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Be aware that as sheep, we can be vulnerable. Sheep need protecting. Sheep don't really have a violent... They're not violent. They can't... They're not like a wolf. They're very different. Different kind of animal. They need to be watched. They need to be led. They need to be fed. And we need to recognize that there is one who watches over us. There is one who cares for us. There is one who is our shepherd. And we need to follow him. As Peter was challenged, he was given that responsibility: feed my sheep. And he did just that. And God calls us, as sheep, to follow him. But be careful. Watch out that you don't take your eyes off Jesus, as Peter did. Went back to his old ways, went back to his old life, but failed, because that wasn't where he should be. Just check on where God wants you to be, where God wants me to be. Allow him to lead us. May God help us, each one, to recognize that as sheep we need protecting, and the one who will protect us is God Almighty and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has given to us of his Spirit, and we need to allow his Spirit to work in our lives, that we might be recognized as the sheep of his fold. So let's sing together number 440, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me, for I have no... Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Savior, like a shepherd, Lord, help us as sheep to recognize that you are our shepherd. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, to recognize the way that you want to lead us. You don't push us, you lead us. So help us to be willing to follow, to come where you lead us. Bless us, Lord, day by day, to recognize our dependence upon you, to recognize the way that you are calling us. Thank you that you give an opportunity for new beginnings. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to recognize that too. So if we have wandered away, draw us back. If we are tempted to go in a different way, Lord, help us. Help us to see the way that you're leading. So we pray your blessing. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.